Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Rules. Gotta follow them rules. This is Wretched Radio. In fact, Marilyn, you should start by following the rules of grammar. Gotta follow them rules. Speaking of grammar, Jimmy, I thought of you Sunday in church. I learned something about dialects in the South.
What'd you learn?
I learned that people say words really differently.
Yes, they do.
Okay. This is what I was told. When you say fixin' to, you know, I'm fixin' to go to the Kroger.
I try not to say that around you.
Which doesn't need a definite article. It's not the Kroger.
No, it's not.
It's like, I'm going to go to the mall. Wait a second. It would be like saying, I'm going to go to the mall. The point is, you say fixin' to. I was told down south, southern Georgia, it's fittin' to. Something.
No, I don't say that.
It's like, it's almost like a different word, but it's the same word, but it's the dialect. In other words, Georgia is like Germany. It just has dialects, but I didn't realize they were that fast. So we here at Wretched Radio, don't you worry, gonna get back on track. We practice good grammarly, but we don't break news stories. Why? Because I don't think that's our job. Not sure that's any Christian's job. There's a brouhaha. Maybe you just heard about it. Somebody's texted you. You're going to hear about it soon enough. It's a bummer. It's just a bummer of a story. And literally, right before the microphone turned on, I received news of it. And rule number one would tell me, hold on, until I know that everybody, or at least most people, knows about this story, I'm not going to be the one to disseminate bad news information about a brother. That's right. It's about a brother. It's about a leader in conservative circles, and you're going to hear about it. But until you do, sorry, we're going to follow the rule of not being the one who's the first out of the gate. Fire! Aim! Ready! We're just going to wait. And furthermore, we're going to follow rule number two when it comes to discernment. Might not say anything even if it meets the criteria of rule number one. That's right. Just because everybody's talking about it doesn't mean that you and I need to talk about it. So how do you decide if you contribute to the conversation? And I think there are some rules to determining whether or not you and I should be having conversations about a bad news story, especially in conservative circles. What are those rules? Number one, do I have anything to contribute? Do I have anything that is going to be helpful? I will tell you this at the moment. I don't have anything helpful. I just heard about it. We're not Fox News. Hey, did you read your X machine? Breaking news. Wait till you hear this one. Sorry, not playing that game. Furthermore, if I don't know the details of everything, if I don't know more than the story in an effort to do what? Help people, which I think is another rule. Will my comments about this particular subject help people if they're not constructive? If they're not for the building up of the body, which Ephesians 3 all the way into Ephesians 4, that we do these one another's together and that the elders lead and teach. For what purpose? For the building up of the body till we all experience the fullness of Christ. We're to be building up. We're to be edifying, not hacking away. And you say, well, wait a second. What about when you, Friel, hack away at some preacher? That was not the word that came to mind immediately. What's the difference? Is it just because that this particular story is somebody that I suspect I probably would check every single theological box? Probably every single one. Am I being duplicitous? Talk about one and not the other? No, the rules of discernment help me here. There are certain stories that you just never talk about. There are so many, I don't want to use the word scandalous, but for this particular story, I think it just borders more on just, what? But all of these scandalous stories, we don't talk about most of them. Honestly, we just don't. There are so many people doing so many rotten things in Christianity, and we just don't talk about them. Why? Well, number one, does it impact people? Number two, is it helpful? Number three, is it a local church issue? Number four, do I have anything beneficial to say for the building up of the body? So we pass on a lot of those things, and we might pass on this particular story too. On the other hand, we might not. If it meets the rule criteria that I think that we should all apply to ourselves before we go about the business of talking about what's breaking on X or the Christian Post or wherever these things get posted. Can I say something helpful? Can I build up the body? Do I have anything unique to say? There's another rule. If it's just banging the same drum, well, we all love a drum and bugle corps, but we just don't need to hear this many drums. We just don't. We don't need it regurgitated, repeated. And we've got to be careful that we don't turn any one of these stories into a gossip fest. That's so easy to do, isn't it? We don't have to talk about it at church, but we do because we kind of like this stuff. It's dish shells. None of us are immune. I know the lure of it. That's why Entertainment Tonight is still on the air. And I think John Tesh is still making royalties, if I'm not mistaken, from that theme song. Do they still have the same theme song?
I think so,
It's probably all electronic at this point. But the lure and the temptation to pile on, to jump in, even when we do it in a way that sounds a little more sanctified. Brother, I think we're all hurting, aren't we? Did you hear the story about, that's just really, okay. I'm not saying that it's necessarily a sin. I'm not, but we got to watch our hearts and we've got to practice some discretion. Not like the United States Catholic Diocese, who basically in Seattle told their priests, if somebody confesses to you they're molesting children, you keep it private. You don't report that to the law. I'm not talking about that kind of, air quote, discretion. I'm talking about putting a gate on my mouth. And trust me, not only has my gate too often been open, I can think back over the years, I didn't even have a gate. Whatever, blab, without any thinking, without any restraint. I don't know if anybody but myself will get this, but have you ever done that? Have you ever known something? You're out to dinner with a group of people from church, whatever it is, and you know something, and you could contribute it, and all heads would turn toward you, but you don't do it. You don't do it. You keep it close to the vest. I'm telling you, there's a feeling that accompanies that discretion. There's something about it that says, that was right. That was good. That was good. Thank you, Lord, for putting a button on my mouth so that I don't disclose things that won't edify and build up and teach. There's another key, by the way. If you're going to practice discernment, talking about these issues, what is it that you're going to say that is going to be helpful? Now, I think maybe one of the things possibly that we will talk about here, maybe in the days and weeks ahead, is the issue of this is a tough issue. Because I think it's really easy at this moment to whiplash and go into one ditch or the other. And that is the issue of, we'll call it evangelical celebrityism-ness. That somehow there are people in conservative evangelical circles that get elevated. And most of the time, these are the people that you'll see at major conferences. They get elevated up there because it just happens. Now, the danger would be that we say, therefore, cancel all conferences, cancel all X, cancel all YouTube videos. You don't even write a book because that could bring you some notoriety. I think that would be an overreaction. On the other hand, what's going on? We got to sort through this. And I think this gives us an opportunity. Is the problem the system that creates people that we all look up to? Or is it our own hearts that we look up to people that we maybe just, that we appreciate them, but they're not our spiritual leader? Our local pastor is. So until we can check our discernment rule boxes, nothing. I got nothing for you. This Real What's New. This, hey, is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Heavy, Mrs. Marsh. This is Wretched Radio. There have been many stories here at Wretched Radio that we have discussed that are deeply disturbing, but perhaps no story. This, wow, is like profoundly, this is like going to change your world. This could just totally alter the trajectory of your entire life. Jimmy, am I overselling this setup too much?
Maybe a little.
This is... Subtlety isn't anywhere in my name or vocabulary for that matter. I'm telling you, this is troubling. Joy Behar, in talking about the new Roman Catholic Pope, I'm serious. I'm thinking maybe we do need to get a hold of Jim Baker and buy some of that food and start moving to Montana, everybody. By the way, did you see that video that was circulating about Jim Baker? He's 85 years old. And he went on to his TV program, the Praise the Lord program. I think that's what it's called. I didn't know it was still on the air. And he was telling people that if everybody watching would just send in $1,000, then the ministry would be fine because they are after him. Who are they? That wasn't disclosed. But if you don't send in that $1,000, then he's going to be out on the street homeless. Same old, same old. Same old money grab. I read something interesting last night in 2 Peter. Let's see if I can do this for memory. Probably not. Last night in 2 Peter was reading about false teachers. I know. I got to find this. Jimmy, maybe you could find it. 2 Peter. And he's talking about false teachers. It's the first third of the chapter. And he's talking about these teachers that love money. And he interjects a word, shameful beings. Why? That's really strong language talking about those false teachers, because what they do hurts people. And I've seen it. I know people who have loved ones who themselves have given a lot of money to these men and these women that are nothing but hustlers. They just love money. And it's shameful. And I think I really felt it when I was reading the text. I just thought Peter was expressing. It's like, this is just shameful. This is shameful what they're doing. And I wonder if we shouldn't be perhaps a little more exercise like Peter appeared to be in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse
1 through 3.
All right, let's hear it.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep.
Okay, keep reading, Jimmy, because I think that there is a parenthetical. Shameful. What they're doing is shameful. Or I perhaps was a little drowsy when I was reading my Bible, and I was making stuff up, which when it comes to false teaching, that is another hallmark. They just make up nonsense. Whilst Jimmy is reading 2 Peter 2, which is a very good chore for Jimmy. Sorry, I've got to get back into character. Truly disturbing. Just earth is nothing reliable these days. I'm watching The View. Okay, that's a lie. Somebody sent me the clip. On The View, Joy Behar actually said something kind of funny.
What do you want to bet Trump says the election was stolen?
That's pretty funny. So somebody must have written it for her. The gals at The View are now going to talk about the election of the Chicago Pope. Pope Leo, the X1V. Pope Leo, if I'm not mistaken, Pope Leo X was the Pope during the time of the life of Martin Luther. He was, I'm pretty certain it was he that Luther railed against. And it wasn't merely because of the debauchery. It is because, well, one of the reasons was the money grabbing that was going on, too, in the Roman Catholic Church, the indulgence system, Mariology, which, by the way, the new Pope, we don't know where he's at with Mary and his affection. I think it was John Paul, the popular John Paul. He was big into Mariology. Well, guess what? So is the new, or the last Pope, rather. I didn't know this about Francis. He wrote his last will and testament. Here it is. Throughout my life and during my ministry as a priest and bishop, I've always entrusted myself to the Mother of our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Wow. Wow. That we go to a mere mortal to have them play the role that they simply are not suited for. Only God can be the one to whom you entrust yourself. I ask that my mortal remains rest, awaiting the day of the resurrection in the papal basilica of St. Mary Major. So I who's Mary Minor? Is Mary Minor's from Matthew chapter 26? Which, by the way, actually that would be better said John chapter 11, because Matthew 26 doesn't identify the woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her hair after anointing it with nard, which is an extract from a Himalayan plant. How do you know these details, Friel? Just preached about it. Very expensive, about a year's wages. And she wiped it off with her hair. What Bible verse talks about hair? Well, you're maybe thinking Samson, but I'm thinking about a woman's hair being her glory, said Paul to the Corinthians. Furthermore, in first century Jewish culture, a woman's hair was private. A woman didn't reveal her hair in public. It was a private matter for her husband, for her family. This woman so loved Jesus that she uncovered her hair and used it to wipe his feet. This is a woman that John 11 identifies as Mary, who deeply, profoundly, humbly loved Jesus Christ. In fact, what did Jesus say about this event after the disciples, led by Judas Iscariot, incidentally? Judas Iscariot, if you wondered, why didn't Judas love Jesus? Now, sorry, this wasn't the plan, but nevertheless, from Sunday's sermon, you've got the end of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, and then you've got a story about Caiaphas, the high priest, who had been in office for 18 years. He was a power broker. This guy was a bad dude. He was able to keep the peace with Rome whilst pretending to be religious. Why? Because what does Matthew 26 say? He plotted to kill Jesus, but he was cowardly. But let's do it in secret. He was such a political cat. He knew that any sort of execution, public execution of this very popular rabbi would have been problematic. So because he was a political beast, what did he do? Matthew 26 later tells us that he held the trial at night. That is a Jewish no-no. He held it in secret. That's against Jewish law. Nevertheless, Caiaphas loathed Jesus. Then all of a sudden, you see Mary, apparently the minor from Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, anointing Jesus' head and feet with nard and then wiping it off with her hair. Then you see the story of Judas Iscariot going to betray Jesus Christ. What are these stories doing together, especially when you see them out of order? And the answer is Matthew's making a point. Do not ever be disturbed about chronologies in the New Testament gospel tellings of Jesus' life. They did not intend to present a strict chronological history. They were trying to make a point. So in this instance, when Matthew is trying to elevate the magnificence of the king, that's the thread throughout the Gospel of Matthew. He tells us about Caiaphas, this fellow who loathed Jesus. Then he goes back 6 days. Wait, what? Why did you jump off track here and inject this story about Mary the minor wiping off Jesus' feet with their hair. Then you get the story of Judas. I think Matthew's trying to make the point. He's introducing us to somebody who loathed Jesus, who loved Jesus, and was lukewarm toward Jesus. Caiaphas hated Jesus Christ. Mary loved Jesus Christ. And she exhibited it by not care. She had no fear of man. She was going to do something that would have been like, whoa, what do you think you're doing? You can maybe anoint his hair. Not sure you need that expensive nard you got there, but his feet? You're taking off your covering to wipe it. It would have been shocking, and she didn't care. She didn't have a fear of man, and Jesus applauded it. Don't mock her. Because they went after her, led by Judas Iscariot. Why did Judas not love Jesus? He saw the same things that Mary saw, perhaps even more. Why didn't he love Jesus? And the answer is, he loved something more. He loved money. Hoping Jimmy's found 2 Peter chapter. Did you find it? Next. Return for our befuddled confusion on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin launched an investigation into Loudoun County schools where 3 high school boys are being charged with sexual harassment after a female student, identifying as male, secretly recorded them in the boys' locker room. The boys' crime? Simply expressing discomfort at finding a girl in their changing space. Meanwhile, an undercover investigation by Live Action has revealed Planned Parenthood is now the 2nd largest provider of cross-sex hormones in America, prescribing the life-altering drugs to minors as young as 16 with minimal oversight. Remember when Planned Parenthood just killed babies? Yeah, now they're chemically sterilizing them too, all while pocketing $700 million in your taxpayer money. And even one Democrat representative admits gender-neutral bathrooms are hurting his party politically. Speaking on News Nation, Tommy Barra warned colleagues against being drawn into culture wars by President Trump, acknowledging that while Democrats, quote, fight for that because we do want equality for everyone, it's not a winning issue right now, end quote. Well, at least someone in Washington can still read a poll. President Trump's administration announced they're finalizing a massive trade deal with China. Yeah, China, after meetings in Switzerland. The deal aims to address America's $1.2 trillion trade deficit with the communist nation, coming just weeks after Trump raised tariffs on Chinese products to 145%. And Apple has settled a $95 million lawsuit alleging Siri was eavesdropping on private conversations without even being activated. Eligible customers who experienced unattended activations between 2014 and 2024 can now file claims. But here's the kicker. Users must swear under oath that Siri activated accidentally, with payouts capped at just $20 per device. That's Big Tech's apology. Barely enough for a meal at Chick-fil-A. And in a perfect example of progressive Christianity, a United Methodist pastor told his congregation that it's perfectly fine to be the barren fig tree Jesus warned about in Luke 13. Dressed in a fig costume. Of course, he was dressed in a fig costume. The pastor claimed the tree was producing just fine and that any suggestion otherwise was toxic capitalist propaganda. He said, contrary to Jesus's warning that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, he assured his flock that we are already enough. Yeah, that's definitely opposed to Paul's warning about those who accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Look, I get having compassion for your flock, but true compassion is not telling people they're fine just as they are. It's loving them enough to tell them the truth. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is not helpful, handsome Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. How do you expect me to keep all of these short attention span balls up in the air when you pipe in and tell me, make sure you talk about the Truth Unhindered campaign. I'm trying to get to The View, which, count your blessings, we're not talking about The View because I've got sound and you don't want to hear it. So you can thank my ADHD at this moment for helping us not listen to The View, who decided to spend some time talking about the Pope. By the way, did you read the story in the UK? The majority of British citizens now claim that they are neurodivergent. If you're not familiar with the term, basically it's a fancy way, a pseudoscientific way of saying we all think differently. Therefore, if you kind of struggle with this or with that, guess what? You're neurodivergent. You don't do things like the majority of kids in the class. You're neurodivergent. You maybe have a different sense of humor. You're neurodivergent. You process things a little different, slower, faster. You're neurodivergent. In other words, we're all neurodivergent. What is the standard here? What is the norm? Of course, we all think differently. It is another effort, I think, by the secular therapeutic to label everybody. Why? Well, this article from the UK. And don't you worry, Jimmy. I'll get back to that Truth Unhindered thing.
Okay.
Because I'd rather do that than talk about The View. I'll just tell you that much right now. The majority in UK now self-identify as neurodivergent. In other words, they aren't even going to a supposed specialist. They're diagnosing themselves. Why? This is another one of those terms for which we all qualify. This is like narcissism. The trend of narcissism, which, by the way, we're going to be doing a video on that. I'm going to do that with Libby Glosson. We're going to talk about this trend in social media, secular social media that has infected Christendom. That you and I, when we've got somebody in our lives that is maybe not aligning with every single thing that we think, prefer, like, and do, and they, oh no, judge us. What do? You label them narcissistic. So you contradict anybody. You're a narcissist. You want to do this as opposed to that? You're a narcissist. You correct your child's behavior, you narcissist. I got to put up a fence. I got to have boundaries and space from you. It is so anti-biblical. We'll be talking about that. But that is another one of those terms where the definition gets expanded to the point we all qualify. I'm a narcissist. Jimmy's a narcissist. Well, that word used to have a little bit of meaning. Because there are some people that historically you'd go, whoa, they are the captain of their own planet, aren't they? They just don't look around. They don't see anything. And you can look at some people and it's like, wow, they are just obsessively self-obsessed. But today, it's much broader than that. The same thing is true with ADHD, with autism, with the neurodivergent diagnosis. Everybody's got it. To the article from the UK, a majority of Britons may now consider themselves neurodivergent, meaning they have a condition such as autism, dyslexia, dyspraxia, or ADHD, or any one of the DSM monikers, but they're self-diagnosing it. They don't even go to the doctor, which, by the way, if you'd like to hear a joke that isn't funny, it's the way the secular therapeutic diagnoses these maladies or these struggles that people have. Because they're simply different. They've got a different personality. It's the way God gifted them. How's about that? What if God gave you the gift of a short attention span? Huh? Wouldn't that, what do you mean, gave me a gift of a, I should have a long attention span, says who? How long should your attention span be? What's the correct number of seconds you can watch a YouTube video before you clock out if it isn't totally engaging? Who says? Well, the DSM says. And so the DSM makes definitions for these things that are so broad, it's utterly ridiculous. And when you go to check out, hey, I'm kind of struggling with this or that. No hair, no blood, no urinalysis. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Here you go. Here's the cure. And then they give them a prescription. So people self-diagnosing themselves, well, frankly, they can't do much worse than the secular therapeutic, which reminds me to encourage you to get Greg Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can pre-order it. It is almost out. I actually got copies here at the studio. It's a beautiful book. It's a hardcover book. It has been endorsed by oodles of really good guys. And it is dealing with the secular therapeutic and the gross overdiagnosing and labeling and causing people to think that they're forever labeled. And there's probably never been a greater time. The timing for this book is just perfect, because people are starting to talk about it and going, oh, what? Really? We've all got autism? Lies my therapist told me, you go to our website and then the links, fortisinstitute.org/lies, and it'll take you to the cheapest place where you can buy it. 2021, a study found 787% jump in the number of diagnoses of autism. What? So between 1998 and 2018, a 780% jump. You can't tell me that it's simply because we're more aware. No, we've expanded the definition. And when you go to clip your nails, you can only do 5 at a time. Well, guess what? You've got ADHD. You sometimes maybe don't like making eye contact with people. Congratulations, you're autistic. Now, we need to remember, there are some people, if the word has any meaning left to it, there are some people that would have genuine autism. And I don't think we're doing them favors, and I don't think we're doing everybody else favors by expanding the definition so that if there's a 787% jump in the order of diagnoses in this is the UK, with an estimated number of children who have autism spectrum disorder, ASD, had risen from 1 in 2,500 children 80 years ago to 1 in 36. Now, could we be seeing an increase in autism, genuine autism? Sure. And should we look into what's causing it? Sure, I'm glad RFK wants to do that. But this isn't that. This is the expansion of definitions so that everybody can be swept up in the secular therapeutic because there's money involved. The schools get money. The doctors can get money from pharmaceutical companies. There's a financial incentive for this diagnosing of individuals. Now, from the article, famous people with autism spectrum disorders include the naturalist and television presenter Chris Packham. I don't know who that is, but apparently he has the ability to have a job and go on TV and present. Does that sound like what you and I historically have understood autism to be? Did you know Sir Anthony Hopkins is on the spectrum? Yeah, that's right. A guy who memorizes Hamlet, a guy who memorizes scripts. To this day, I think he's still making movies, surprisingly. How is he able to do that with autism? Why? Well, one time he winked when he meant to blink, and so he was diagnosed with autism. Elon Musk, the world's richest man, he's on the spectrum. In other words, the spectrum has no meaning anymore. And it is high time for us to start asking some questions. I'm telling you, Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Disrupt. That's the word. It's a disruptive book, but it's also going to be such a helpful book. Hey, instead of talking about The View, I just thought of this. You know, Jimmy, it just crossed my mind. Hmm? The Truth Unhindered campaign.
Yeah.
You of little faith, you didn't think that we could possibly get back to that. Well, let's talk about Joy Behar. Wait a second. The Truth Unhindered campaign. It is our current match campaign. If you can give, if you can support, you say, well, what's with the emphasis on if? Are you giving to your local church? If you're not, give to them. Don't give to us, give to them. Don't give to any parachurch ministry. Give to your local church. If you then have access and you are passionate about what that ministry is all about, and another if, you don't have any unmanaged debt, then please consider joining us. It's a match campaign. Our goal is to forever give everything away that we make here. Just every single audio and video resource We want to give it away because we want to get our stuff into churches around the globe. So it's kind of a two-pronger. We're going to close the store, makes everything free. And then we're going to go find those churches everywhere. And these days you can, with the geo-tracking and the being able to find churches, to get these materials into churches and to get them into the hands of believers who simply can't afford them. Not just in the States, but around the globe. It's Truth Unhindered. It's a match campaign. It's going on right now, dollar for dollar match. We want to find more people. We want to bless more people. And we're doing this match campaign because we're closing the store and that revenue kind of needs to be replaced. So if you'd like to join us for the Truth Unhindered campaign, you can do that, please, at fortisinstitute.org/truth. This is Wretched Radio.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't judge me. You have ADHD too. This is Wretched Radio. We're going to get to The View, but I'm reading this article on neurodivergence in the UK that everybody is diagnosing themselves. Hey, sorry, boss, I didn't get my work finished. I'm neurodivergent. Mom, I didn't get my My grade's up this semester to qualify for the free scholarship here in the state of Georgia, but it's okay because I'm neurodivergent. We're all neurodivergent. And nobody thinks alike. Our brains are like snowflakes. There's not one that's the same. We all think differently than other people. It doesn't mean that we've got a scientific label like neurodivergent or ADHD, which inside of this article tells us what the marks are for having ADHD. Trust me, you've got it. Nobody can escape this. So here it is. Somebody with ADHD symptoms, of which typically appear before the age of 12. Okay, this is just absolutely, you want to talk about crazy? This is crazy. They're now going to tell you what kids under the age of 12 have ADHD. Ready? They're easily distracted. No. A child easily distracted? Oh, it can't be. They must have ADHD. They forget to do everyday tasks, like make their bed or brush their teeth. Sometimes they find it hard to follow instructions. Get that kid a prescription. This is utterly ridiculous, and it is time that somebody sheds a spotlight on it. Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, it's going to do just that. FortisInstitute.org/truth. Now, you of little faith thought we wouldn't return to The View.
Look, I always think it's exciting.
Can you just feel the critique coming? Can you just feel it? It's like, hey, you know, there's a new pope and stuff, but...
To watch the conclave and look for the black smoke and the white smoke and just the ceremony of it. Mm-hmm. You know, during these very trying times in our country, we certainly...
Okay, maybe I... You know what needs to be on the list for ADHD? If you say 7 times in the course of 8 seconds, I can't focus on you.
We need spiritual leadership. Because of some of the things that we're experiencing. I'm a little concerned about this choice for the LGBTQ plus community.
Because apparently he said something once in 2012 to indicate that he might actually understand at least one Bible verse. The View, of course, they're upset. There are other... Nobody really seems to know anymore. The guy seems to be rather... theologically divergent. Hey, this could bring about denominational unity. We're theologically divergent. So let's just all get along or something like that. The new pope from Chicago is kind of a mixed bag. It looks like, it's not certain, it looks like when it comes to traditional Catholic moral values, that he's pretty much in line, or at least back to 2012. And believe me, it wasn't a strong statement. It was like, oh, okay, I think that you're opposed to sex outside of one man, one woman in a covenantal relationship. But it was hard to tell. He seems to be maybe okay on that issue, the life issue, but other social issues like, I think, immigration. It's pretty certain he's liberal with that. Global warming, liberal with that. So who is the new pope? He's a mixed bag, is what he is. And we will find out, I think, as time goes by, just exactly where he is at. But in the meantime, we got ourselves a new pope. And The View, they aren't entirely thrilled.
He cited the homosexual lifestyle and alternative families comprised of same-sex partners and their adopted children.
Oh, no. Can you imagine a pope that thinks that? This is just simply not acceptable. Christian Post writing 5 things you should know about Pope Leo, the X1V. He's from Chicago. He was born and raised here. He is an Augustinian. Now, that can be a mixed bag too, but he's from the Augustinian province in Chicago. And he's one of their solemnly professed priors. He opposes female deacons, has mixed views on LGBT issues. She just quoted it for you. But when it comes to the role of women in the church, it's not a strong statement. but it's, you know, hey, it could cause some problems, was about as definitive as he got. There are other people who are speculating he doesn't like the Don. Somebody found his ex account. One screenshot showed Pope Leo the X1B sharing an article from the progressive publication National Catholic Reporter titled J.D. Vance is Wrong. Jesus doesn't ask us to rank our love for others. That is, wow. Yes, he, it's not like rank, like I hate those people. I only loathe those people. Those people, I'm lukewarm. I like them. I love, that's not what we're told is the way that we are supposed to look at the Ordo Amoris. But the Bible gives us that there's circles. There's outgoing concentric circles. You're supposed to love your family first. Your church family is second. That you do good to all, particularly people of the household of faith. Furthermore, you simply have geographical constraints. You cannot help everybody everywhere. And so if we're supposed to be making sure that there's no discrimination in how much we love or serve, good luck accomplishing that. You don't have enough hours in the day to do that. Another screenshot from 2018 shared a message from another cardinal from Chicago, considered one of the more progressive church leaders in the U.S., condemning the Trump administration's policy separating illegal immigrant children from their parents or guardians. A third ex messages in favor of illegal immigrants brought to the U.S. as children receiving protections from deportation. So there you have it. The new Pope, he's still an antichrist. Of that we can be sure. Hey, you can't talk like that. Well, that's the way the Bible speaks, which brings us back. Watch this, Jimmy, to 2 Peter 2, the NTN. Are you familiar with this? It's a new translation. It's the new Todd translation. NTN, new Todd. The NTT. Oh, boy. 2 Peter, I'm telling you. I've got to go to my nightstand Bible. The word shameful was used as a parenthetical. But even if you perceive from Jimmy's readings of 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, which talks about false teachers who do things for greed and for gain as being shameful, even if it isn't found there, listen to the description in 2 Peter chapter 2. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speaking evil of the things they don't understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. That's the mark of a false teacher. They carouse. They make merchandise out of people, and they love the seat of authority. And Peter does not hold back regarding men and women who use other people for their own personal advancement. Furthermore, when it comes to false teachers and their destructive heresies, the Bible is so strong. Now, this isn't the way that we talk all the time, but what happened to calling a pope a pope, or calling the office of the papacy Antichrist? That is how we've always understood that office. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Hey, maybe that's where it was right there. A curse. False teachers are accursed. They hurt people temporally, oftentimes financially, oftentimes sexually, oftentimes with spiritual abuse, but eternally they lead people away from the true and living God to idols. Back to 2 Peter. They've forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Did you hear the word wages in there twice? You get paid for what you do. If you behave righteously, you will be rewarded. if you sin and behave unrighteously, you're going to pay the wage for that. And it is a price. I'm telling you, you don't want to receive that bill. You don't want to hear the words on Judgment Day. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. People who lead others astray. We should talk the way Paul did. They're anathema. Why don't we talk that way anymore? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.